Welcome back to Insight on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The Latino Center of Art and Culture is celebrating 50 years, having been a staple in Sacramento since 1972. What began as a humble Latino-focused bookstore has just grown by leaps and bounds over the decades to now include events and exhibits. The Latino Center will host a three-day event, El Panteón de Sacramento, celebrating Dia de los Muertos, this weekend. Joining us to talk about the history of the Latino Center and the event this weekend is Executive Director Carissa Gutierrez. Thanks for joining us, Carissa.
Oh, thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here today.
So the Latino Center of Art and Culture was founded as La Raza Bookstore in 1972, and this was during the Chicano Civil Rights Movement. But the name has evolved, so has the organization. Give us some of the history. How did this take shape, and how has this evolved over the past 50 years?
I'd love to. So yes, as mentioned, 1972, there were some great folks who were looking around and thinking, where are our stories? Where can we learn more about ourselves? And as you mentioned, this did coincide with the Chicano movement. And so there are certain folks here in our community who are still alive, members of the Royal Chicano Air Force, a collective of artists who decided to start this bookstore. And so I think that that spirit certainly lives on as far as, you know, convening these voices, making sure that artists and creatives in our community always have a sense of home and belonging.
And the awareness goes beyond just Sacramento. Recently, the center received funding from the California state budget. Correct?
Yes. Last year, very grateful to Assemblymember McCarty and as well as our own councilwoman, Katie Valenzuela, for going to bat for this. But we received $1 million from the state to be invested in the current location at Wynn Park. So we will have a new gallery set up hopefully sometime next year. But we're excited.
That's exciting. All good things for 2023. Yeah. Well, let's get the Dia de los Muertos. It's a really important day, an important tradition for many Mexicans who honor their loved ones who passed away. But for those who aren't as familiar with this tradition, what can you tell us about the day's importance?
Of course, honoring the dead is a universal practice. And so regardless of whether you are from Mesoamerica or Latin America, this is a practice that we see throughout the entire world. But the Dia de los Muertos, as we know it, I mean, goes back even before pre-Hispanic times, and we saw Mesoamerica performing certain rituals at the time. But what we now have and what we present at the center is it's a celebration, typically on November 2nd, where there is a portal that essentially opens between the living and the dead. But it is not this somber, scary sort of misconception that we have about the day. It's a joyous celebration between grandparents, grandchildren, those who have departed, those who are still coming, to really honor and reflect on the lives that have been lived and to also remember those who perhaps have been forgotten.
Yeah. I think about the popularity of movies like Coco and then even before in 2014, The Book of Life, which really brought the attention of Dia de los Muertos and honoring, celebrating, reconnecting with loved ones who have passed away to non-Latinos. What has this done for your event? Because this will be the 13th annual El Panteón de Sacramento. Have you seen actually it grow in response to, you know, really successful films like Coco?
I think every year has always been very big. We've always had a great deal of support throughout the state. People are pouring in from Los Angeles, even as far as, you know, Nevada, Oregon, who come for this celebration. But you're right. There has been something of that's kind of changed in our lexicon, even about the Day of the Dead. I know now that in Mexico, you know, they're about to have one of the biggest Day of the Dead celebrations in the capital. And that has not always been the case. But what is exciting for us, or not exciting, I think what revealed a great deal was during the pandemic, folks were, in fact, stuck at home. And all of a sudden, many people got to experience what, for many of our immigrant families, experience on the daily, and that as a daily reality, which is they cannot just return home. They cannot be with their loved ones when things are happening, especially when we've lost them. So all of a sudden, what I was seeing from some of my friends and colleagues was they were starting to take on certain cultural practices like building an altar or an ofrenda because they couldn't actively even attend the funerals of their loved ones during the pandemic. So these cultural traditions are shareable and they actually really allow us the ability to have that closure and even that connection to the folks we lose in a very loving and respectful and dignified way.
Yeah, and it's incredible that you get people who participate from out of state and outside of Sacramento. Mm-hmm. For those who are unfamiliar with what El Panteón means, what is it?
El Panteón literally means the cemetery. So And I'm not joking. We have actually redeveloped an entire part, and we do this every year at the Latino Center, that is completely we recreate an entire cemetery in a small town in Mexico. So there are about 60 tombs there right now.
Wow.
And we light them with candles, and we burn the copal. So you have this very beautiful, kind of almost mystical energy that kind of flows through the entire space.
Wow, that is wonderful. And this is going to be a 3-day event starting this weekend. What can people expect if they've never been before?
Oh, yes. So aside from this actual cemetery that we've recreated and a small chapel, there will be processions each of the three days. But you will also see 40 different families will have constructed, and they've already started this week, constructed altares. So these are incredibly large demonstrations of artifacts, of photographs, of all these different objects that represent the families themselves. And they'll be sitting next to them. So you can chat with them. They'll share with you about their family practices. You'll also see we'll have a lot of food. We'll have a lot of music, entertainment, and there will be vendors there. But what's so exciting is that just that ability to connect with one another and to get to know a little bit more about us.
What goes into finding these 40 families that take part in these altars?
You know, they come to us.
Yeah. So I would imagine you get kind of overwhelmed with people who want to take part.
It's a blessing. It really is. We have certain families that have been a part of this since day one. And so we know who these folks are. And at the same time, you know, what we saw this year was we made a call out to the public. You know, if you wanted to build your own, we were happy to work with you on that. So every year, we always try to honor some of the relationships we have with these families here. And at the same time, we always open it up to the public. And what I love to see, especially as a native Sacramentan, is how many activations and altares are actually taking place throughout the region.
Yeah.
So it's been very beautiful, and also collaborating with other centers.
How many people do you typically have during, you know, a 3-day celebration? I mean, you have people coming from all over.
Yes. Over the course of 3 days, we typically see close to 8,000 to 10,000 people.
Wow, that is a lot of people. If someone is just learning about this and they actually want to do an ofrenda or, you know, an altar, what advice do you have?
Well, first of all, try to come to the event. Mm-hmm. You know, come experience it, see what it's like. But other than that, something that we're actually working on with our director of comms, we're putting together a small documentary where we're interviewing the altar makers themselves and asking them why they do it and how. And so we'll be releasing that in the next few weeks, too. So I think following us on social media, getting to know us a little bit more, this is information and these are cultural practices that we are incredibly proud of and we love to share with our community.
How long have you been working on this documentary?
As long as we've been planning this, Santion. So months.
Wow. Well, logistically, what goes into planning an event this large scale where you welcome, you know, 8,000 to 10,000 people over the course of 3 days?
I don't do it alone. That's for sure. So planning a festival, planning any sort of event or major program always requires the support of the community. We do this for and behalf of the community. So I think we're very fortunate that I have a full board of about 13 individuals who take the lead on a lot of these planning aspects. We also have a core team that comes back every year. We have Maestro Vidal, who leads a lot of our folk and traditional arts and is really the holder of the vision for the event. And we have this year, we made a public call for community volunteers. We had over 100 people sign up to take on different shifts over the course of a month. And this is incredibly beautiful and telling of just the importance of having cultural spaces like this. But it takes a lot of coordination, a lot of patience, especially towards the city, but a lot of love as well, because that is what really fuels me to do the work that I'm doing, is to see the way everyone else's creativity is expressed in this process.
You know, as a native Sacramentan, and obviously your dedication is very clear, where did this begin for you? Which now led to you becoming the executive director and now hosting the 13th annual El Panteón?
You know, I think it's always been there when I look back now. I was born and raised in Sacramento. I went to Washington Elementary School. Barrio Arts was very much a part of what we did as children. The Washington Neighborhood Center means a great deal to me. And so perhaps I took that for granted as a child. But as I went on to my studies, as I went to Berkeley and focused on other things, and as I have played many roles as a communications director or as an operations director, to me, it always came back to the storytelling. It always came back to the way that our art was presented and also the way our community was represented. So as I was doing all these things, I was also volunteering my time at the Latino Center. I was also trying to find my sense of belonging. And the more involved I got, the more, I think, passionate I became about the role of cultural space making in Sacramento and beyond. So my predecessor, Maria Costa, you know, was deciding after a while that it was time to retire. And we worked with the board and we decided it's time. And so it's been so beautiful to have that kind of support, that kind of transition, but essentially to really bring all the skill sets to the table in the name of preserving our cultural spaces and creating new conversations around identity, around just practices. And I think that there's a great deal of economic development that happens in this, a lot of violence prevention, but truly it's just about this radical joy that we love to share with our community.
Yeah, and I can clearly see the wheels are constantly turning for you and your colleagues at the center. Mm-hmm. Finally, this event is free, but how can people get involved and support the Latino Center?
We could always use the support. Yes, it is incredibly important to us that all of our programming remain accessible to the public. We make sure that it's either really low cost or free all the time. But donating is one way. We're always looking for sponsors and community partners. We have a great relationship with our partners in that respect, that we're able to amplify the work they're doing and also really receive their support. You can also become a volunteer yourself. And you can also just, you can sign up for our newsletter, follow us on social media, but get involved, show up. I think, you know, the space really belongs to those who work it. And so we want people to really understand that this is a cultural space, a community space, where people can come and develop their artistry. And they can come and workshop their ideas. And so the door is open.
Carissa Gutierrez is the executive director of the Latino Center of Art and Culture. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I'm excited for your event this weekend.
Yes.
El Panteón de Sacramento is celebrating Dia de los Muertos. It'll take place over the course of 3 days this weekend and is free of charge. That is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. If you want to join the conversation, you can email us insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producers Nick Dobis and Victor Corral Martinez, with managing editor Aram Sarkissian. Our digital producer is Megan Minata. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones, and our engineer is Antonio Munez. And I'm Vicky Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you back here on Monday.